podcast is part of the Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Let's go. Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca, which has moved to Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. It used to be in Mississauga. I spent a lot of time learning how to say that. RootaRootRadio.com over in San Diego on the beaches of the West Coast. Across the pond to XRPRadio.co.uk in Birmingham, United Kingdom. And right here in Leechburg, Pennsylvania, BuildTheScene.com. My name is Bill. This is episode number 542 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. We're going to have not one, but two guests on this episode. This live video interview is featuring Jazz Byers of Half Wheel and many other bands, but Half Wheel tonight. And if you take a look behind me, it is a cover of their newly released Good Days album. And it looks like I'm sitting outside in front of... What is that?
It's a little pub, actually.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So so here's the story behind the album cover. That's a little pub in France. I can't think of the name of the little town, but if you're in, let me see, I got to tell you right. Basel, Switzerland, there's a bridge you can walk across and it'll take you into France and then you can walk into Germany. So the day I took that photo, I, drank beers in three different countries that I walked to, but that little pub there is actually called the Brewery at the Church Works. Or at the church, Brewery at the Church, I think it is. So where it says Half Wheel, it really said Brewery at the Church. And where it says Good Days, it said some other ad. And
where it says Rattle Clack.
Yeah, that was something else too. And then I think the little sign that's like right behind your left ear with looks like the address. That's right above the, yeah. So yeah. That's the address, but that's actually like the catalog number of the CD now. So that's changed too. But so the idea with Good Days, to segue into that, we knew we were going to call the album Good Days because we did a song called Good Day, and we'll call it Good Days, but we didn't have any concept or anything. So Sean, the band is myself and Sean Nestor, who sings and plays guitar as well. I do all the instrumentation for the most part and most of the songwriting. And then he comes in and makes it all sound a lot better. And then we have guest musicians as well. And we're actually in the future hoping to put a live band together, but that hasn't been a priority in 2020, obviously. So, right. So, we had the concept of Good Days, but we didn't know how we were going to do it for an album cover or anything like that. So Sean came over and we were getting ready to take photographs for the album. And we had studio set up and all that. We're taking these photos and they just, sometimes you can have the best production in the world and everything, and it just doesn't look good or feel right. And that's how this day was. So we're like, screw it. Let's go down to the little pub. There's a place by my house that, we walk to, and we pretty much live there. If you can't find me at my house, that's where I'm at. So we go down there and we just go in this little booth and we got with my, little iPhone and started taking pictures of us just, hanging out and drinking beers and stuff. And that's the photos, that's every single photo except the cover is that, because the concept, like, it hit us like Good Days. We didn't have a good idea or anything. We're like, what if we name the bar Good Days? And then, you go in the bar, you open it up, and we're sitting at the booth, and the CD itself's actually, a coaster, or it looks like a coaster. And then you take that up and it looks like that. So that's the whole concept.
I know some of the songs that are on there, are not your own. How did you choose which ones you were going to cover?
All right. So here's what happened. So 2020. Okay. I travel a lot, right? Cause I do shows all over the country and internationally too. And this year started out and I was super busy. At the beginning of the year, I was up in Canada and I was on the West Coast and back and forth flying all the time. So I wanted to do a Half Wheel album this year, but I was like, I don't know that I have the time to do it because, like you said at the beginning, I play in a couple other bands. So I'm busy all the time, right? And then I, record and everything else.
Wait, go ahead and name drop them real quick.
There's Half Wheel. There's Homicide Black and Silk Nine. So there you go. Different instruments in each band too, which makes it really schizophrenic for me. So I play bass in Silk Nine, I play drums in Homicide Black, and I play everything else in Halfwell. So beginning of the year, everything was crazy. And I said to Sean, I said, I'm just going to, like, let's just do one song a month and we'll release singles. And so I had all these songs that I liked that I always thought, man, I love that song, but I think, like, I want to record it the way I would play it. You know what I mean? So we started out, and I think the first song that we recorded was a song called Angel Whisperer, which is by, hey, how you doing there?
Bobby C.
Right on. So yeah, Bobby C and Royal Honey recorded over here at this place where I'm sitting, and those guys are great. So check out Royal Honey too. Plug them. Get their CD.
RoyalHoneyBand.com.
Yeah, they're on. Let's see. So this right here is a compilation album I did, and those guys are on it. So go check it out. It's compilation 2020, Rattle Clack compilation. Anyway,
they share the same web designer as you.
Ah, he's an expert from what I understand.
We'll go with that.
Okay. So we started recording these songs, and the idea was we're just going to release a single, like one single a month. And so we did Angel Whisperer, and then the following month we did a song called I Have the Moon that was from the Magnetic Fields back in the day. So if you want to do something really trippy, look up Magnetic Fields, I Have the Moon, and then listen to our version, because it's like way different. But so right about then was when all the COVID stuff started to hit. So then all of a sudden everybody had a bunch of free time. The problem was Sean didn't have a bunch of free time, and we were, you know, back then everybody was afraid to everybody was afraid to be around each other for everything, you know. So I just started recording like mad. And I just pick all these obscure songs that I always loved. Like, so on the album, there's two Halfwell songs and the rest are covers. But I did pay for the licensing. I believe in intellectual property. So it's all, you know, legally taken care of. But so I Have the Moon was from the Magnetic Fields. Angel Whisperer was from Rameses B. Under the Milky Way was the Church. That's one that y'all might actually know. Then that's when it gets crazy. There's a song called Over the Ocean, which was from a band called Low. I think they're from Duluth, Minnesota. And I forget the label they were on, but they were kind of like the opposite. They came out kind of like when thrash and everything was coming out, and all these bands were playing a million miles an hour. And they were like a three piece, and like, we're going to be the extreme opposite of that. So they played like mellow, clean music as slow as they could. And I love this song. And I'm like, again, like, you know, it's a great song when they do it, but I'm like, man, I think we could do it like our way and it'd be cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ask the Mountains was the last song we did. And I had, Matt Ferrante play drums on it for me, and he came over, and I made the mistake of telling him what the song title was, and he looked it up beforehand. So Ask the Mountains is a song by Vangelis, which is the guy that did Chariots of Fire, right? And several others that you probably know from movies. Anyway, he comes over and he's like, I ain't gonna lie, Jess. I listen to that song. I don't really like that song. I'm like, it's something to that effect. And I'm like, trust me, it's gonna be good. Cause like, if you listen to the original, there's like 2.5 minutes of just keyboards, like, you know, and a girl's voice, like, you know. And Matt's like, what the hell do you want me to do on this? I'm like, trust me, it's gonna be fine. So that was the last song that we added to this. And then, let's see, Just Like Heaven from The Cure, because I'm a huge Cure fan. I've seen them like 4 times, love everything about them. Then we redid a song called The Desert, which is an instrumental from Halfwell, which was part of the soundtrack for a documentary bicycle movie I made when I biked across the United States. We redid it and, added some guitar parts for it. And, Mike Ofka from Innovation Recording Studios played the secondary guitar on that, and it's beautiful. Then we did Drifting from Four Non Blondes, which, you know, Sean was going to kill me for that one, because he's singing in the strat. I mean, he is so high pitched on this, you know, and it's him singing. It's not all like pitch shifted and stuff. And then we did a Bjork song called Unravel, because I love Bjork. And we had Jessica Ragey from Lucky Me sing with Sean on it. So, and I skipped a few people. Let's see. Sean Donahue played guitar with Sean on that song, and I'm probably forgetting somebody. Josh Shank was a drummer on like three of the tunes. Ralph McCartney played bass for 8 notes in Angel Whisper because he loved the song. And he was over at my house. He's like, and he plays a 5-string, and I play 4-string, even though it's tuned to C sharp. But he's like, you need to let me play bass on it. I'm like, dude, it's done already. Like, we actually released the single by this point in time, right? Because it came out a while ago. He's like, yeah, but you need this low bass in it. So he came over and literally recorded 8 notes in the middle part of the song just so we could have whatever that low note was, like a low B or something. And after he did it, I'm like, oh my goodness, you're genius, because I can't hear it without that now. In fact, I wish we would have went and put it in there a couple more times. Recorded here at Rattleclack and mixed at Innovation. Then we went to Red Cayman and did the mastering for it and did a video for a good day. And here we are.
The video can be found on your website, Facebook, and YouTube, correct?
Correct. And yeah, yep. So we put it out on Facebook, which is the first time. I'm good at recording bands, and I'm good at, you know, playing shows. I am the worst self-promoter in the world. So, you know, I do all these albums, and then they just, okay, here you go, world. And I expect them to just take off. And I know they don't. But having said that, for the first time ever, I actually put a video like directly on the Facebook instead of YouTube. And it's the video for Good Day, which is the first single off the album. And it's the one of the two originals. And it's been out for a week and a half, and we have just under 14,000 views on Facebook. So that's kind of pretty cool. So Eric, please, everybody, share it.
This is actually something, it flows right into something I've been talking about in my last couple episodes of both shows. Gene Simmons recently said that the rock and roll music business was dead. And my thinking is that the rock and roll business that he knew was dead.
Absolutely.
And, you know, because in the 70s, he wasn't able to sit in his living room or in his basement and record something that sounded professional. And he wasn't able to go out and have his friends help him make a video that looks like it was recorded by
Absolutely. A yeah. Well, it's absolutely dead in the way he knows it. Cause I'll tell you, so I have a friend of mine. Years ago, I moved to Minneapolis and I got in a band that had a record deal with Columbia Records, and our A&R person is still friends with me. He doesn't work doing that anymore, but he's still in promotion and that type of stuff. And I sent him a copy of the album and he listened to it and he's like, oh, you know, Good Day is pretty good too. And, you know, types me his email. And I don't think much of it. Well, the next day I get another email. He's like, you know, the more I listen to that tune, the more I'm convinced that it's a hit, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, I want to send it to so-and-so, you know, one of the few people that I know it's still in the major label industry, although it's overseas and he works with different artists, you know. And I'm like, okay, cool, send it. So then the next day I get an email and he says, I really love this song. He's like, if we could only get some random stranger to do a TikTok video of it, of them dancing while drinking Ocean Spray, it would be a hit. Now think about what he said. The day before, he just sent it to, you know, somebody in the major label industry. But right. Then the next day he sends, you know, and I know he's sending, you know, he's kind of saying it as a joke, but that's the truth of the matter. It's like, it doesn't matter how many industry people you have anymore. You make a video in, you know, 30 seconds in your basement, and if it catches on, that's what it takes nowadays.
That's exactly what we were talking about. They're not looking for bands to mold anymore. They're more looking for bands that already have a following.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, I just oddly enough had this conversation 4 hours ago at a pub, and we were similar topic, but I said like a band like The Cure would never exist anymore because The Cure didn't blossom until, you know, they had hits when they were younger, but nothing at all like what they grew into. Nowadays, it's like, you better have those hits right away. And, you know, but the technology's changed. I mean, I'm making albums here that, you know, it's not because I'm that good. It's because the technology allows me to make, you know, a recording in a room like this, you know what I mean?
Or I'm sitting in France in my living room in Leechburg.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Think about that right there. You know, 10 years ago, that you'd have to go to a studio to have green screen. You know, now it's like you can buy a kit off of Amazon for $100 and get the camera and everything together.
I know I told you that we had to keep this short. We have about 2 minutes.
Okay.
I do want you to talk about the instrumentation, because you were telling me off the air about an instrument that I wasn't aware of that you used on this album.
Yeah. So, you know, it has the standard stuff, drums, guitars, acoustic guitars, 12-string guitars, keyboards. But one thing that that's on this album that you may hear, because some people are like, do you have a banjo? It's like, well, no, because it's like, well, it doesn't sound like a banjo, but it doesn't sound like a guitar. So this is a strum stick. This is a McNelly strum stick. And this one is, this one's actually a chromatic fretboard, but I have two others that are diatonic, which what that means is it's do, re, mi, fa, si, la, ti, do, like that. So this, one here is just, you know, I guess you can hear that probably.
We maybe. Can.
Okay. I got the headphone things on, earbuds. But so this is the diatonic one. So if you see the frets, how they're not the same spacing, right?
Right.
So it's like a dulcimer, basically, which I have one of those in the other room as well. But so it's interesting, because a lot of times I'll do accents with these, and you know, you can play different. You almost can't hit a wrong note, and that's how they advertise them. But the first time I saw one of these is I was biking in Texas at a place called Bastrop, and I went into Larryland Music, believe it or not, 2016. I'm on a bicycle riding across the country, and I found one of these, and I'm like, what the
heck? Did you take it with you, or did you have it shipped home?
No, I took it. Well, I took it with me, and then I dropped it off and had it shipped home. But this is the one that I bought there, and it had a soft case. And the reason I didn't get the hard shell case is because this had a strap, so I was able to like strap it on the bike, because I had everything I, you know, was using for 3 months was on my bicycle, which is available, Bicycling the Southern Tier. You can get that from the Rattleclack website, or
rattleclack.com. Go to the store link.
Yes. RATTLECLACK.com. Or you can go to YouTube and look up Bicycling the Southern Tier. But this is the one that I bought in Texas. It's a little longer now. I think this is the one that you tuned to G, I guess, or D. Yeah, so I have this one tuned differently, because sometimes I tune them different depending on what songs we're playing. But yeah, so that's the strum stick that everybody always asks about on the album. Kind of neat. A little different.
So last question for you.
Yes.
Where can people find a copy of the Half Will Good Days album?
Besides Rattleclack Entertainment, or besides rattleclack.com?
Correct.
So you can go all the normal places, you know, Spotify, iTunes. You can go, but here's what you can do. You can go to this is kind of cool. And I don't know if you knew I had this link or not. Half Will. So like it's spelt like behind you, Half Will.
It's right below me in the video.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go. Right down there. So halfwill.hearnow, as in hearing right now, hearnow.com. You know, and you can actually preview the songs. But the best thing to do is go to rattleclack.com.
Here's what we're going to do now. We're going to take a moment. We're going to listen to Good Day off of the Good Days album. And then when we come back, we will be chatting with Miss Freddy. Who has a new single out. I believe it's called Wade in the Water. So we'll be checking that out along with the Half Will tune, and then we'll come back and do some speaking with Miss Freddy.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate
Thank you, Jeff.
It.
Good day. It's a good day.
Trouble the water.
St. Jordan's water is chilly and cold.
trouble the water.
Said it chills my body, but not my soul.
He's gonna trouble the water.
And we're back. You just heard Half Wheeled's song, Good Day. And right after that, you heard Wade in the Water by Miss Freddy, who is joining me now. Miss Freddy and I have spoken on my other podcast one time, actually right outside on the wall outside my house, which was different for me. How have you been, Freddy?
I've been pretty good, busy, and, you know, in between.
I'm sure work has not been fun for you.
Well, you know, considering what I do, I'm an outpatient nurse, but we deal with pancreatic, colon, and rectal cancer. So it's a different kind of a, you know, a thing going on. But I mean, still with the pandemic and everything, we've had to do a little, you know, you kind of have to switch up and kind of, you know, accommodate our patients, if anything. So. But I mean, it's still a challenge, no matter what. It's a challenge.
All right, so let's delve into what's been going on in your world recently, musically. You have the new release, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but you've also just won an award in Pittsburgh. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I did. And actually, I didn't know I was nominated till somebody brought it to my attention. I got this, you know. And I said, oh, I didn't know I was nominated. And so it's for the City of Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh City Paper Readers Poll. And it's for the best blues performer / blues band. And so I won. Thank you, everybody who voted. I was so shocked and I was surprised because, you know, I just go about my daily business and doing whatever I have to do. And you know, it just came to me. So I was so happy. It was an honor. It was a true honor. And I do appreciate everyone that, like I said, who voted for me. I love you all out there. Sorry that we can't get to see each other like we used to, but you know, that day will come. So
the cool thing
that was for.
The cool thing about that is you didn't even get a chance to go on social media and say, hey, I'm up for this, vote for me, because you didn't know. And like that's an ultimate win, because that means that, you know, you didn't even push it. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know what I did? Well, yeah. Once I found out about it, I sent it to like a few people and put it on my page. But I mean, I didn't have enough time to, like you said, to like really push it. And, it goes to show you that people are following me and they're waiting for the next thing, you know, what I'm going to do. And they know I believe in what I do. It's, you know, it's the real deal what I do. So I try my best.
I remember the first time I saw you on stage, it was in Island. I want to say it was Ill-Fated at that time with Paul Guarini.
Oh yeah.
That was the very first time. And when you got off that stage, I was like, I'm going to have to look into her a little more.
Yes. You know, that was my, actually my second time, but actually the, you know, my very first time singing with, well, I've sang with a rock band before, but actually to do that, and my rock name, everybody, if I ever get into rock, like heavily in it, it's Blue Gemini. So that was my name. That band helped me formed that name. They wanted to keep the blues and, you know, somewhere in the mix. And I'm like, no, because this is rock we're doing. That was so much fun for such a good cause. And they did a song that I do till this day. I love, you know, Gimme Shelter. We did that by the Stones. That was so cool. It was fun.
Also, I saw, I think I saw it like within the last 3 days, a thing pop up about a David Bowie tribute. What can you tell me about that?
Well, my PR guy, Michael Stover of MTS Management, he brought that to my attention. He asked me if I was interested in doing something like that. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a huge David Bowie fan. I'm not just saying that because that's what I listened to, like, you know, when I was younger. I'm still young, but but back then, and it's a chance to, you know, you'd pick one of the songs that David did and you put your own spin on it. And I know sometime next year, this is all supposed to happen. So, of course, I wanted to do Fame because I'm always listening to it, but it was Taken. So now everybody will know I'm going to be singing Young American and I'm going to use a local band. And that'll be my big splash secret that's coming out, you guys. Like, you know, just stay tuned. So I'm just waiting for a couple more members to say they're on board. I am so excited about this. I can't believe it. I'm hoping somebody videotapes it while we're, you know, taping it, because it's just going to be.
Now I'm trying to see if I can figure out who it is. Like, which band could it be? I'm not going to guess on the air.
All I can say is, and a lot of people might know, a lot of people could probably guess this, I've sang with this band before. It's not, so just we're clear, it's not neither one of my bands, you guys. It's not. It's a band that I've sang with recently, within the last couple months. So that's all I'm giving you, because as I said, half the members are on board. I'm still waiting to hear if the other half, you know, if they're able to do it. We've got time. We've got several months in the making. So, but a lot of people are excited. They're like, Miss Freddie doing Bowie. And I'm like, absolutely. I love David Bowie.
See, this plays directly into a question that I've been asking recently. So I don't know how familiar you are with the Foo Fighters.
I know who the Foo Fighters are.
So, one of the things that happens to me all the time is if I'm on YouTube, I'll let it play through and whatever comes up next, I'll probably play. Or if I don't want to watch, like that video starts, I'll click whatever's next. And I just keep letting it play.
Yeah.
No matter what I start on, I always end up watching the Foo Fighters, no matter what. I could be watching a how-to video on how to fix something on my car, and within five videos, I'm watching the Foo Fighters. But most of those videos, someone ends up from the crowd ends up holding up a sign saying they want to play a song, and Dave brings them up on stage and they play with the Foo Fighters. So my question for you is, who is your Dave Grohl? In other words, what band do you wish you could go up on stage with?
Oh, let's see. What band? All time. Does it matter if it's the past or the present?
It can be all time. So even if it's not currently possible, because some of the members have passed away, you can still pick that band.
Yeah. Okay. Who do I want to go up with? Oh, well, who I listen to and I still like. Well, but then there's, let me see. Okay, there's so many. If I had to pick a band that I would want to get up on the stage, it would be Kiss.
Kiss?
It would be the Beatles. No,
Wait a minute. You can change.
Oh my God. I listened to Kiss. I was like a teenager.
What would your character be? What would you have on your face? That opens so many questions, Freddie. I mean,
I would be like a cat. I would be a cat woman. I would. And my whiskers would be long. My eyes would be, you know, out. And of course I'd have like, you know, this curly wig or something on my head, but yeah, I would be up on the stage with Kiss. I would.
See, you opened up You opened up Pandora's box here. What's your favorite Kiss song?
It's from Far Moon, Money.
And who is your favorite member of Kiss? Any iteration?
Gene.
See, I go back and forth. Sometimes it's Gene, sometimes it's Peter. It depends on the mood I'm in. I kind of stopped you because you mentioned Kiss because you were wavering. Who were the other bands you were thinking of?
Probably the Beatles, but in particular Paul McCartney, because he's my favorite, because my all-time favorite song by them/him is Yesterday. And when he opened up PPG Arena, when it first opened, and I kept saying to my friends, I'm just here for him to sing Yesterday. Then I'm good after that. But the whole concert was great. And he got up on stage and he did Yesterday acoustically on piano. I lost my mind. I'm like, I just want to get up there. I'm like, just please let me sing, you know. But of course, you know, we were sitting about 20, 25 rows back and it was okay. It was all right. But
you should have held up a sign.
If I'd have thought about it, I'd have had somebody make me a neon sign. It's like, yay, you know, can I get up there? He probably would have let me, and we had a chance to meet him, but our timing was kind of weird with our friend that knew him, and it was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? But it's a lot of other different ones, but those two.
And it's funny that you said Paul McCartney, because one of the videos that I ended up on the other day on YouTube with Dave Grohl was about Paul McCartney.
Oh, okay.
He said he was, I'm going to retell this. And he was at a party at Paul's house, and Paul had played a song on the piano, brand new song no one had ever heard before. And it got done. And Dave said that it was a good party, and he goes, and I was kind of like, and not all there. And for those of you that are listening, I waved my hand in front of my face there, but he's talking and he said, and Paul stops his song and everybody looks at Dave and they're like, play a song. And Dave goes, I don't know how to play the piano. He goes, and then he looks around and all the guitars are left-handed because Paul's left-handed, and he's sitting there trying to figure out how he's going to get out of this. And Taylor Swift stands up and says, I'll play a song. And so he's like, so Taylor Swift saves me. So Taylor gets up and starts playing a song. And Dave, being a little out of it, he's looking at his wife and he's like, I think I know this song. And she goes, yeah, it's yours. She was playing a Foo Fighters song. So then I went up and I sat down beside her because I kind of felt obligated to sing with her now. And he goes, but she's singing in a beautiful petite voice, and it's just beautiful. He goes, and then I'm singing in my screaming voice, and I probably ruined it. But I thought that was a great story, and it fit into what you were mentioning. So those of you that want to check that out, because he tells it much better than I did, go to YouTube and type in Dave Grohl Saved by Taylor Swift. You'll find it. There's a whole bunch of. He's told it on a bunch of different talk shows, and you'll find it. It's funny. All right, moving on. if you had the chance to sit down with your musical idol, and again, this could be someone who's currently alive or has passed on, who would you want to sit down with? And here's where it's tricky. I'm going to limit you to only being allowed to ask one question. What would you ask them?
Well, it would be my all-time favorite blues woman/person, Coco Taylor, who passed away June 3rd, 2009. That's my biggest influence. And my one question would be, what else do I need to do? And then out of that, I'm sure she would give me a ton of advice. What else would I need to do? And that's my all-time person I would love to sit down and talk with if I had a chance.
Before we're getting close to that time deadline I gave us. Okay. And I want to make sure that we talk about Wade in the Water. So what can you tell me about the track? We just heard it like 15 minutes ago, but what can you tell me about it?
Yeah. So it was produced by Michael Morgan out of Ohio. He approached me. I thought originally I was going to do a song on a CD project he had, but that wasn't it. He wanted to showcase my voice singing an old spiritual, and he told me pick it, and I picked it. And Jay Vernali out of Nashville, Tennessee, he did the arrangement. I love that Hammond B3 effect. And they got Kim Parent, who does wonderful background vocals, backup vocals on air. So, you know, I picked that song because of what we're going through in this world right now. This whole pandemic has changed a lot of mindset. So it was a type of song that slaves, you know, sang. It was their way of communicating. And it's like, you know, I'm not thinking of mankind as, well, we are in some kind of slavery because we're, you know, all this is going on, but maybe give some kind of hope through this type of a song to let people know that there is still some kind of hope. Just follow the path of the waiting, you know, of the water as you're wading through it. The water represents trouble. You know, and it can be chilly and cold. When it says Jordan's water is chilly and cold, it can be chilly and can be cold, but, you know, keep going because there's something that's coming that's going to help you. So that's where it came from.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about the history of the song you were telling me off the air?
Yeah. So I used to sing this as a child, but as I became older and, you know, recently, I didn't know this song was old. A musician friend was telling me that it probably even dates back in the 1800s, but really don't know who wrote the song. So it was published in 1901 and got recorded in the 1920s. And then different gospel, blues, rock artists have done this song, you know, many different ways. I do it with both of my bands, but, you know, singing it this way, you know, it's the way that I kind of sang it like how I grew up listening to. So, but yeah, it's an old, old song. I would love to, I like doing investigating things, like finding out things. And that's one of my goals before I leave this planet is to actually find out where this song originated.
That would be awesome. If you figure it out, pass it on. I'm interested now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And somebody who might be listening to us or watching us might say, hey, I know who wrote that. I'm like, okay, because I can't find it. And I have people that are, that's what they do for a living. Two friends that I know, and they both came up with 1901. It was published, but the author is unknown. So
I'm going to give you two more quick questions. The next to last one is, what is something about you that your fans probably don't know and would be surprised to find out about you because it's not on your social media? And it can't be the nurse thing because we gave that up.
Oh, it's not. The only way they know. Something about me or personally or...
That's totally up to you.
Actually, I still have stage fright, people. Big
wow.
Time.
I would have never
I still
that.
Have stage fright.
Wow.
A lot of people you should see the deer in the headlight. Get the deer in the headlight. I said, yeah, there's a story behind that. And I said, you know, and a lot of my musician friends who have known me since 96 can tell you it's a true story. I used to sit behind the very first band in 96. I dated the bass player and I would sit behind the band while they faced the audience. I'd sit in a chair, face the wall. I did that for a year. That's how scared to death I was.
Wow.
No way on this planet could you get me to sing in front of people. I'm like, no, not me. Scared to death. Don't like. Mm-mm. And then my mentor told me, you got to come out of that. And I did. It took me a while. And then several years ago, I just made up my mind. I'm like, pretend it's me sitting in the audience. And I'm saying to you, look, I've spent all this money to come and see you. You at least keep me here for an hour. You entertain me, make me feel good. And it works.
Maybe you should have been a grunge singer. You could just stare at your feet, put on some flannel, stare at your feet.
I don't think I could. Yeah.
Hey, last question, Freddie. This is probably the easiest one. Where can we find you online?
Oh my gosh. You can go to my website, www.missfreddie.com. com. Miss Freddie, MissFreddye. Hit me up on Twitter at Freddie17, or you can go to my Instagram page, Miss Freddie's Blues or Freddie Stover. Find me. Check me out, you guys.
And you won't regret it.
Oh, she's and you'll awesome be the, live. You'll... Oh, thanks. And I'm looking forward. I have another single that'll be coming out next year.
Well, make sure that I know so that I can add it to this radio station and we can do this again. So for absolutely those of you, I do want to mention this is episode number 542 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Make sure you check us out each and every Friday when we release our next show. You go to PARockShow.com or BuildTheScene.com. Freddie, I want to thank you for coming on again.
Oh, thank you. And you're very welcome. I really appreciate it.
And what we're going to do now is we're going to listen to some more of the best unsigned rock, metal, and gospel that Pennsylvania has to offer. And you'll know that we're on our way out when you hear John Lane come on and do the outro. That's the American Hilljack. We'll catch you next week at 8 p.m. on buildtoscene.com, 6 a.m. on the website, and on all our streaming stations that I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Make sure you check us out. Make sure you go to MissFreddie.com to find out what else she has going on. As you can see, she has lots of awesome stuff going on. So make sure you check that out. My name is Bill, and we'll see you next time.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.